Okay, we're going to get started right now. So welcome everybody to the call. So the first thing is I want to have a conversation about the costs and payoffs exercise and doing the process up to question 8 where you, number one, notice the belief, become aware of the belief, then the part 2, questions 3 to 8, where you really look at the consequences of your beliefs. So what are you noticing about your beliefs? How are you seeing them differently? Have you had any insights?
Robert, this is Sharon.
Hi.
Hi. It seems like my problems all are pretty targeted to one area that has to do with my work. And consistently, I think I resist doing things as I feel like I'm not ready yet or I can't do it well enough, like I'm not capable enough. So it all seems to be, all seems to point to that belief.
Okay. So you're noticing those beliefs. So anything else, any other insights in looking into the consequences of those beliefs?
Well, the consequences is it's kind of crazy because if I don't try, I can't learn from acting. So it's really a dead-end situation. You know, by not acting, I'm not going to get any better.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Sure. You're welcome.
So we're going to share for about 10 minutes. So who else would like to share something? And essentially the question is, what insights have you gotten in the last week about this process?
You and Dexter.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's not exactly an insight about the process, but I noticed it's not comfortable to go to the consequences. And even when I'm leading somebody there, I did call one of the other participants, and I noticed that there was I seemed to meet resistance to really feel the depths of the consequences, and I noticed for myself that I don't really like to go deep into looking at that.
Right. Well, that would make sense.
But I think,
why would we want to look at that? So the question is how can we look at that when doing this exercise and not rush through it? One of the, you might say, problems or issues or challenges, whatever, of doing this process is just doing it slowly and, you know, mindfully, you might say. So I've got question number, whatever it is, question number 7, which is about the costs, and then question number 8, which is about the payoffs. And it's like your mind goes into a mindstorm. You get what I'm saying? A mindstorm is like a flurry of thoughts that are saying things like, oh, geez, I think it's that, but I don't know, but maybe it's that, and blah, 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 yada, 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 and never really just answers the question, well, what is my slimy little payoff for believing this? And just quietly, I know that's kind of judgmental about your thoughts, and then just quietly looking and seeing what arises there. Oh, the payoff is I just get to be comfortable. Payoff is I get to be right. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a major realization with that, but just an open, aware noticing of that. And it can take several times for it really to sink in, but you've got to take it slow and easy and just let it come into you.
It occurs to me that this is a very, to really go deep requires vulnerability. And maybe if I'm leading somebody else to make a request of them for their, to be willing to really let themselves be vulnerable and open. Because if I go into it kind of matter-of-factly, it's not going to achieve the kind of depth as it might otherwise achieve. And the real success is the degree to which I open to.
Yeah. But, you
really
know,
learning.
You know, you can be very, we can get kind of theoretical about this. And have you ever seen somebody do a wood turning? You know, turning a bowl,
yeah,
the lathe. You may not have seen it in person, but most people have seen that on on a TV show at some time in their life. And, you know, what is that person doing? You know, I never was very attracted to that because it felt really dangerous to me. You know, as you've got a very sharp chisel against a solid metal brace, and you're pushing it slowly into the wood, and the wood is just, all these spirals of wood are just flowing around. So what does that person need to do that? He has to simply have focus, right? Focus, focus, focus. There's not a lot of explanation around that. Focus is focus. And, you know, the first time he turns a piece of wood might be a little scary. He's not going to do a really big bowl or anything. He's going to do something really simple. He's going to shape the outside and then the inside. And then he's going to get a little better every time. But he's just focusing. He has attention. And you really have to have attention in that kind of thing or you can hurt yourself. You could really hurt yourself. So it's kind of like that. Now, you really can't hurt yourself from this, but it's just this focus. We have the questions, we have the answers. Questions, the answers. So if we think we have to work ourselves into a particular state to do this, we don't have to do that. We don't have to, you know, all this stuff that we have to do. Just focus and ask the questions. It makes it a little simpler. Okay? Who else has an insight or anything about this this process?
This is Leslie. And I'm realizing how incredibly irrational I can be. I am totally married to the belief that the stuckness I'm working on is organizing my office. I've worked for 30 years in a couple of related fields, and I have boxes of stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to organize it, and I don't want to give up stuff that, who knows, I might need, or I might just want to refresh my mind or review or whatever I want to do.
Right.
I believe that it's going to be impossible to keep what I want to keep and have the space for it. So I believe it's impossible. And so, I live in an apartment in Boston. My basement is part of my living space, so I don't have storage space.
Okay, yeah. You know, there's a little a new book out by a Japanese woman called, of course I can't remember it, but it's all about organizing.
Yep, I think I have her book.
It's a little small
and I
book.
I pushed back from it. Yeah, a tiny little book.
Yeah, and she says she has a big bias towards throwing anything out.
Yeah.
You know, that you possibly can, and
And
so you might ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen if you throw something out that you might need later? I mean, if that cost was really high, I mean, really high and real, it's like, well, if I didn't have that, I could be sued for $50,000 someday. This is very unlikely, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you have to find a way and ask other questions, like, is this something I could do just one piece at a time? How many boxes do you have?
I don't even want to. I don't know.
10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000?
Probably 20.
20 boxes. Okay. Yeah. last year I threw 300 pounds of paper out of my office.
Mm.
And you know what? I don't miss any of it. I threw...
Yeah.
You know, anything that I couldn't fit in my bookshelves, and I threw away a lot of that stuff too. And I sent a lot of books to the library, and et cetera, et cetera. And still, you know, I could throw out 80% of what I see around me and still be okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, just for what. So keep working on that until something pops for you. You know, may or may not.
Yeah.
But what's the cost of having all those boxes around?
The biggest cost is I feel like a complete fraud because so much of what I help my clients do isn't organizing in that way, but it's really distilling things down into manageable pieces and doing it.
Yeah, so see, some people could have 20 boxes, it wouldn't be a problem. It's just 20 boxes. I mean, it's hidden in a corner and might need it someday. What the heck? But not for you, because it's not right or wrong to toss them out. But it does detract from your aliveness to some degree,
well,
right?
And I believe that I'm not going to be able to organize things and keep the things I want to keep. And so I avoid confirming it. I strongly believe it, but I avoid confirming it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it ties into so many other things that, that I absolutely get nauseated thinking about it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, at least you're bringing this to awareness. That's the first job.
Yeah.
And in this session, you might see that there's possibilities beyond that, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. You sound a lot better today, by the way.
Oh, God. I've never been sicker than I was the other day, so thanks for bearing with me.
You had a hard time. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you into groups of two, and I simply, there might be, so you have 10 minutes to just share what you got here, what insights you had. What I want to do, just share your insights, sort of like Leslie did. You know, I realized this, or I understood that, or I saw that, or that became clear to me. Or I have no idea what's happening here, and I'm as confused as ever, and whatever. Just share what's up for you. The point is for you to share. So give yourself, we've got 10 minutes. The people that have three, you'll find out and make it a little shorter. So everybody, introduce yourself.
Yeah, I got disconnected, so I called back in.
Yeah, we all got disconnected. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. It's Kabisi, never mind.
Sorry, we got disconnected, folks.
It happens.
Judith hanging, and I apologize.
Well, don't apologize. Everybody got disconnected. I want to give another few minutes. You know, you could share something else, or you could share what your partner shared, or you can... whatever. So 5 minutes. Anyone else have something they want to share? Any insight about this process, about yourself doing the process?
Robert, it's Vida.
Yeah.
One insight I shared with Maurice and Michael is that I don't like feeling bad. So when that feeling, and I have to connect with that, which I did because of the exercise, I do everything else. However, I realized as well that I hang on to these negative thoughts and images of myself, and I sabotage myself, so I don't get on. So there's the paradox. I hate the feeling of bad, yet the bad feeling is, I use it as an excuse to not get ahead. You know, poor me, the dad, and all that stuff.
Right. It's kind of a loop in your mind, right?
Yes.
It's sort of a never-ending loop. You know, I found myself, as I was dressing this morning, I was thinking about a thought about something my wife had done, and then that related to another thing that was more severe, and all of a sudden I went, oh, I'm caught in this loop. And just in noticing it, I said, okay, I really don't want to spend time there right now,
no,
thank you. Because the pattern of thoughts, beliefs, habits, avoidance, they've worn deep grooves in our mind, and so to speak, and so they come up and they sort of keep us comfortable because they're familiar. But when you start noticing that that is not who you are, it's just a thought, it just drops. I mean, I can't even hardly think what it was anymore. I mean, and then sometimes I, you know, whatever. Anything can trigger you, right? I can look at my telephone, and that can remind me of a telephone I had 5 years ago that broke, and that I was really upset with AT&T because I bought the phone, and I remember talking to the service person. They didn't care, just like another friend of mine doesn't care, and I wonder what that bastard is doing right now. I mean, really, that's the kind, that's sort of the, it's just how our mind works, sorry. So it's like it'll keep going on and on, doing its stuff, and we want to simply become aware of that, and we can't sit down and do a worksheet every day. We should do, you know, in this course, I want you to do as many as you can, but anyway, so what we're going to do, I'm going to put you on mute, hopefully not cut you off. Okay, you're all on mute, and we're going to do an exercise. An exercise is exploring who you are beyond your stuck beliefs. So we're going to go past your beliefs or beyond your beliefs and the consequences of your beliefs. We're going to look at what is beyond your beliefs, beyond stuckness. So I really want you to focus. I want you to sit down, get comfortable, move around in your chair until you're in the most comfortable place, and just close your eyes. And breathe deeply and just be aware. Just be awareness. So I'm going to talk and ask some questions for you to answer internally. Answer inside for yourself. I'm going to ask a lot of questions and say, answer that for yourself. Okay. If all your limiting, fearful beliefs lost their significance, their importance, what would you be left with? Yes, there are always going to be beliefs, thoughts, and feelings, just as I mentioned what happened to me this morning. But just for a moment, ask who you'd be without your beliefs. Who would you be without those beliefs? Answer that for yourself. If the beliefs and related thoughts, feelings, actions, avoidance, your whole stuckness scenario just faded away, what would be left behind? Answer that for yourself. What is the background of beliefs? What is always there, always present, always aware? Isn't it quiet, not agitated, but alive and aware? Isn't it just you being you? Be aware of that and be aware of the awareness. Who you are is not a thing. You are not your body, thoughts, feelings, actions, your stories, drama, or your resistance. In that place of simple awareness, stillness, peacefulness, there is nothing to get or to achieve. You just are. That's enough. Within the awareness, there are also beliefs, thoughts, feelings, body sensations, actions, and reactions. There is fear, confusion, inadequacy, lack of confidence, fear of rejection. But that is not who you are. If you were aware of all of that and could no longer identify or attach to it, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. Who would you be? Don't think about it. Just see what's there. Notice. No thoughts, no identification, no attachment to all of that. Take it all away. If it all dropped away, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. If you were no longer afraid of rejection, would you be? Answer that for yourself. If you were no longer afraid you'd fail, who would you be? that for yourself. If you no longer felt inadequate, who would you be? Do that for yourself. If you no longer worried about others judging you, who would you be? Do that for yourself. If you no longer blamed yourself, who would you be? Do that for yourself. If you no longer needed to be right, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. If you no longer needed to control things, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. If you no longer needed to dominate people in situations, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. If you no longer needed to justify and make excuses, who would you be? Answer that for yourself. You no longer had any resistance to marketing, who would you be? Do that for yourself. You no longer avoided getting things done. Couldn't even imagine not getting things done. Who would you be? Do that for yourself. Okay, now slowly open your eyes. Sort of stretch, move your body around, and stand up. Get out of your chair and stretch for just a moment. Just get back here to the present. Okay, so I want to go back to sharing any insights, anything you saw, anything whatsoever while you were doing the exercise. Maybe there's a particular question, you realized something or saw something. And we're not going to do questions now, we're going to do questions later. So let's just share for a few minutes, and let's have the first person. The line is open.
Robert, this is Vita. I felt a sense of vulnerability because all of a sudden everything that I attached myself to was no longer, and also a sense of uncertainty of who really I am without all those beliefs.
So who are you without those beliefs?
Myself, me.
Yeah, you're just yourself.
Which is a strange feeling.
Weird. Yeah, in a way, it's the most natural feeling of all.
Yes.
But isn't it kind of spacious?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And allowing? And just okay exactly the way it is?
Sure. You kind of have to get to that.
What was that? See, it's not, it's, well, you know, just a taste of that is fine right now. Okay?
It's okay.
Go ahead, Peter.
It's a bit like having crutches, because you need to walk. You need the crutches to walk, and then all of a sudden they're taken from you, and you discover that you do have the ability to walk without them.
Yeah, that's a nice analogy. That's good. Yeah, walking around on crutches is relying on all these beliefs for our survival.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't do that. I have to do this. And you know?
Yeah.
It's like all this noise and static in the background. And, you know, we pull away the crutches or turn down the static. There's still you there. Are you aware?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're aware.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you absolutely know for sure, by the way. Are you aware? Okay. Okay, who wants to share next?
Morris here, Robert.
Hi.
I felt a real feeling of possibility.
Yeah.
When all the baggage was sort of cleared away, I felt a calmness, a contentedness, and that made me feel like there's possibilities here.
Yeah. Isn't that sort of like when you go on vacation, it's a beautiful place, you step on it in your veranda, you see palm trees and beach. I don't know if you've been on a tropical vacation. And it's just possibility because there's no burden of having to work and you're just being there. And it's, you know, and that lasts like for 10 minutes. And then and then God knows what happens in your vacation. But, you know, yeah, I have a history of messing up vacations. It's something I'm still working on. But it's just, yeah, this open space of possibility are pretty good words that give a sense of that. Yeah, it's just, see, if there's nothing burdening us, if there's no thoughts saying we have to do this or that or whatever, what else could there be but possibility, right?
Yeah.
We have somebody making noise in the background, so if you're moving around papers or whatever, when I go through this and edit the recording, it's hard to edit past that stuff. So if you got any noise that you can't stop or anything, just put your phone on hold. Okay. Who's next?
It's Michael here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as far as the feeling I got out of it was lightness, really.
Lightness, yeah. Anything else?
But could you repeat that?
He said it was a feeling of lightness.
Lightness.
Yeah. I actually read a book a while ago called Living as a River, and that I've just had a very quick look at the notes I took on it. It talks about people clinging to effectively beliefs, I suppose. So it was quite interesting. It's a meditation type book, so I thought that was very interesting, the concepts in that book and relating it to, you know, what we're going through here.
Okay. I know it might be hard for everybody to hear Michael, but that's okay. The point is that Michael gets to share. You don't have to understand every word. You're just a little distorted in your phone, Michael, but anyway, thank you. Okay. So who else?
I feel a sense of contradiction because, I feel very aware when we're doing this meditation. I feel the presence of myself.
Yes.
Yet I can't connect this awareness with this. I think I can have this awareness very often in my life, but I don't know how to connect that with really doing things, with doing the hard work, with... That's something I can just make the connection, the jump from one step, from the awareness to the other.
Yeah, so... It feels like someone's moving their phone around or a microphone around or something. I don't know if it's someone on Skype or something, but... And, you know, I can't tell. Sometimes on some of these phone calls, you can tell that there's a noise and I can mute it, but I don't want to mute everybody. Anyway, thanks. Okay, so it's sort of you feel in that peaceful place, yes? And you're just aware. But how can you bring that into your day-to-day world?
Exactly.
Well, this is a kind of a practice apart from doing the worksheet, but this is something I learned from a spiritual teacher, and it's very simple. And it's simply asking yourself this question: am I aware? You know, you're doing something, or you're transitioning from something, you notice all these thoughts and turmoil of thinking or resistance or whatever, and you ask, am I aware? And whenever you ask yourself, I am aware, the answer is almost always yes. I am aware. I am here right now. And in that place, possibilities open up, whereas all the automatic chatter, it closes down possibilities. It has its own agenda. It's going somewhere you don't necessarily want to go. But just, am I aware?
Just keep on asking the question, and then...
Yeah, I'm not talking 50 times in a minute. But throughout the day, as you need it. You know, I just find myself, maybe they're not even bad thoughts. I just have a lot of things worrying around my head about what I have to do, and I've got to do that, and I've got to make sure I can fit that in, and I've got to write that, and then all that stuff, which is, you know, productive in some way, but I feel scattered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can come back to, okay, right now, am I aware?
Okay.
And I can just come back into myself, get out of my mind.
Good. Thank you.
So you're not trying to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to come back to awareness. That brings you back to awareness in the moment. I am aware. See, awareness is available and is actually there all the time. It's just like it's coated over with the peanut butter of thinking and agitation and limitations. It's like this sticky peanut butter that's sort of... But we're still aware. We can come back to that at any moment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else has an insight or something they'd like to share?
I do. This is Donna. And these are the last six questions, because I started out, I'm sorry I didn't get her name, but I started out feeling kind of lost when, you know, we took away those things.
Yeah.
And then I said the last six were, I would be a bird in the sky. I would be a flowing river. I would be a small animal. I think the small animal was if you didn't have to justify things. I would be a fish. Who would I be if I didn't like marketing? If I wasn't marketing, I think I would be out having fun, and then I would be peaceful.
Yeah. That's interesting, because all of those images, most of those images are images of nature, right?
Yeah.
And you notice that nature has a certain stillness to it. I mean, you ever go up to a tree and notice that it's complaining about its root system? You know, it's just there. Now, it doesn't have any kind of thinking, but it has a certain level of just being, and also animals, right?
Right.
Animals don't complain. Human pets complain because they've learned it from us. That's a long conversation. But anyway, most of them are incredibly accepting. I mean, you see a dog that's lost its leg and it's getting around on three legs. It's never going, oh, I lost that leg. Oh, poor me. Yeah, no, it's just... just doing its thing without a leg. I mean, if we lost a leg, oh my God, it would ruin our lives, many of us. So all of that is part of thinking, right? The attachment to these thoughts. And yet, we can just be aware of these, and they're just in the flow of life anyway. So I think that's kind of nice. That could be... You know, we in developing our awareness and getting past our stuckness, we can discover tools that work for us. For whatever reason, you know, it's an association, it's something that's positive from the past, whatever. You can think of being in your mother's arms who really loved you for a minute. And in that, you're just embraced by love, and it's silent, and it's okay, you know, just the way you are. And for you, Donna, you might want to do something around nature. I'm really agitated. Things are crazy right now. Okay, just relax and imagine that I'm a fish in a stream. And the fish is just being a fish, just experiencing fishiness, right? And there's a certain freedom in that. Now, if you get into thinking about it and analyzing it, you've lost it, right? But just to sort of the experience of being a fish or an animal, just right now, I'm just aware, and everything's okay. You want to try that, Donna?
Okay.
You know, this week, it's something you might just want to try.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of little tools like that you can use. I mean, another thing is you've got all these thoughts going on, but you're kind of busy and it's distracting. You say, okay, thoughts, thank you very much, but right now I have to get on to something else. Instead of, I hate to have these thoughts, I've got all these thoughts, just, you know, include them in your awareness. Am I aware? Yes. Okay, all these thoughts, thank you very much, on to the next thing. It doesn't have to be violent in any way. It's very accepting. It's very magnanimous who we are. It's very open.
I have an insight. When I was thinking about being aware, I discovered that, yes, I was aware, but and then this, you know, it's scary to know that those persistent thoughts could no longer be there anymore, like they resist going.
Yeah.
That's something I felt, particularly a persistent thought I have, and then, like, he wants to come back, but being just asking the question, push it down.
Say that again.
Yeah, just thinking about that, that it's going away. It pushes down the thought. It goes away. It's just scary to understand that these thoughts could be gone for good.
Yeah. Well, let me let you in on something here. It's very rare. Extremely rare that you can live without thoughts.
Yeah, thoughts.
Yeah, any kind of thoughts, bad thoughts, mm-hmm. negative thoughts, whatever.
Yeah.
The thing is that when the whole thing is that when we do this exercise or other awareness exercises, we come back to awareness and then we just kindly, softly, acceptingly, allowingly notice what's going on. So all these questions are simply a different cut of seeing what's going on. You know, how are you, what are you thinking? What is the resistance? What's the belief underneath that? Is it true? Just, there's nothing philosophical about that. It's just looking at it and say, is it true or not? Well, it's not true. Okay. Is that working for you? No.
Mm-hmm.
What's it costing you? All that stuff. What's the payoff? Well, I just get to be right. And so notice there's no judgment in that, on all these questions. There's no analysis. There's no formulation of an answer. But in the seeing of something, and sometimes that's in a moment where you just say, okay, am I aware being here right now? you know, you do this more and more often, and becomes more and more powerful, just like doing anything. You know, you get better at it. But then you know, then you might say you're established in your awareness. Now, what would you rather have, being established in your awareness or established in your craziness? Do you get that, everybody? Let's see, established in my nuttiness or established in awareness? Established in my monkey mind or established in my awareness? Now, here's the question. Can I have monkey mind and awareness? Yes or no?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah?
You can.
Can we? Oh.
So you are aware of your monkey mind, and in that, there's stillness in the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is what happens is the attachment to the monkey mind slows down a bit. It's still there in the background. It wants to help you survive in some way. That's its purpose. You know, that comes back to the payoff. It's like, you know, at one point I survived because I did this, I got to be right, whatever. So I keep coming back to that to establish, you know, a false reality, which is, you know, that I am this person that believes this kind of stuff, which is very constricting. So you can have a relationship with your monkey mind. How about that? And you can say, hey, not right now. Maybe I'll let you take off later, after work maybe. I'll give you some time to go through that crap for a while. And then I'll just come back to awareness. See, ultimately it's all about coming back to awareness, and the process is a way to see through all the thoughts. So I read this in a book the other day. At a certain point, you realize that all your thoughts like that aren't really very important. They're not very significant. They really don't do much for you. Would you all agree with that, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And what starts to happen is you start to lose interest in that kind of thinking. You just lose interest in it because it doesn't seem to be doing anything for you. It doesn't seem to be really helping you. It isn't adding to your happiness. It isn't adding to your joy, right? So it's just, and you're seeing through it. You're seeing through the game. It's like, has anyone on the call had children? Anyone had children on the call? Say yes.
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 Okay, who was that? Who was the
Donna,
woman that said yes?
Donna.
Donna?
I have four children.
Oh, you have four children. Okay, so you should be an expert at this. So, did your kids ever ask you for something over and over and over and over again?
Yes.
Now, did you give in sometimes?
Yes.
Did you not give in sometimes?
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah, sometimes I said no.
Yeah. So, they still want that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the heck it is, kids want whatever. They want a lot of nutty things. And sometimes they want things that are really important, you know. I want water and whatever. So can you still be aware and have your child asking you for something that you're not going to give them? They're still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you love your children?
Sure.
No matter what, you love them, right?
Right.
Sometimes you lose sight of that fact, yes? It's like, oh my God, I wish they would just leave me alone. I need a moment of peace, for God's sake. Whatever. But anyway, so it's like, it's not like killing your children. You know, if I'm aware, I'll kill all my children that want stuff. No, it's just... The way it is they're there. They're asking for things. They're wanting things. They're demanding things. And you don't always have to give in to that. So, you know, as a technique, that's maybe not the most useful, but it's just sort of useful to see that we have all these thoughts, we have all these beliefs, we have all these aversions, we have all these fears, and those, all of that is not who we are. We're responsible for it, but it's not who we are. So any questions about that or other things you want to share about that?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
When I go through and ask, you know, who am I without the limiting beliefs and what do I feel?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling peace. I'm feeling abject vulnerability. It's like I have this winter coat on. I'm in Chicago where it's cold as hell. We take away my limiting beliefs, and now I feel like I'm out in the windshield without any protection.
You're freezing to death without them.
I'm freezing my... Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the first 5 minutes when you said it. I feel less anxious now. But I'm still not feeling the bird singing in my ear. So it
doesn't. Yeah, well, we're not promising that to you.
Well, I was hoping for it.
Yeah, it's like. By the way, Chris just joined the call. Did you have a hard time getting through, Chris?
No, I was running late this morning. I'm sorry.
Okay, make sure to listen to the beginning of this recording. We go through an exercise, etc.
Yeah.
So, and we're talking just about insights from that exercise where we talk about if you could no longer attach to virtually anything, who would you be? And just look at it. And who was sharing? Was it Vita?
No, it's Judith.
It was Judith. Okay, yeah, okay.
You mean in the beginning or now?
No, right, just a second ago when you said I felt
Judith. Yeah.
Vulnerable, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, are you aware?
Maybe I don't know who I am without the beliefs.
Well, exactly.
Ooh.
So let me ask you a question. Are you aware?
Yes.
Okay. How do you know you're aware?
Because I just know. I'm an aware kind of person.
Right, okay. Good.
And I notice my beliefs, so...
Okay, just play with me here.
Well, I noticed my thoughts all the time, too much. Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. But, fine. So, do you have thoughts that you resist?
Yes.
Yeah. Would it be okay with you to just allow those thoughts to be, realizing you're still aware? Like, give me a thought.
Yes.
Give me a specific thought that you kind of resist.
I'm not a good writer.
You're not a good writer. Okay. Who would you be without that belief?
A great writer.
That's not bad. At least you'd be a writer that wasn't struggling as much, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this is part of the whole process, but this is another one of those questions that you can use as a standalone question.
Mm.
You know, you're just caught up in this, and oh, man, writing is so hard, and I just, you know. Look, I know writing takes work. I spent all day yesterday writing. I was writing a lot of material for this new programs I'm doing. And I spent almost 8 hours writing yesterday. It's hard to believe, but I spent a lot of time writing yesterday. And, you know, all I just notice when I'm doing it is there's just writing. I'm just writing. Writing is what's happening. So I don't have any, you know, I've gone way past the writing is hard, it's impossible, blah, blah, blah. So tell me more about that. So something comes up and you're complaining to yourself or resisting or whatever, and then you ask that question, who would I be without that belief? And let it just sit there. Who would I be without that belief? So tell me more who you'd be. You'd see you'd be a great writer. What else might you notice?
I think I have to ask that question. I don't think I've ask that question right that way.
Well, we're doing it right now. So right now in the present time.
Yeah, but it's scaring me right now. It's making me anxious.
I understand.
It's making me breathe hard.
Okay. Will you survive right now?
I'm checking. Pretty sure I will, but I'm not.
You know, I don't want you to die doing this process. So we haven't lost anybody yet. But you feel anxious, yeah. So what's the belief under that anxiousness? Related to writing, perhaps.
That I'm going to have to actually start writing. Tremendously you spending 8 hours actually writing.
Yeah.
I don't actually do the writing. That's the problem.
Yeah, so it's all thinking about the writing. So, oh my God, I would actually have to do the writing. What's the belief under that? What would happen if you actually started writing? Take a look. What's there?
I'd have to defend the perspective. I think that's it.
One way to say it. What's another way to say that? I'd have to defend my perspective. Okay. But what could happen if you started writing? What bad thing might happen if you started writing?
I might be wrong.
Yeah. And what would happen?
Or I might not. I don't know where I want to go.
Yeah. Well, let's do one at a time. So you might be wrong. And if you were wrong, what might happen? I mean, we're all wrong 100 times a day, so related to writing, I wouldn't do it right. I might be wrong in my writing. That is, the ideas might not be solid enough, whatever. So what's so bad about that? If you were wrong, what might happen? What's the belief underneath that? It's very simple. What would happen if you were wrong in your writing?
I would feel embarrassed, maybe even humiliated. I would...
By who?
By the critics, the haters.
The critics and the haters. So doesn't it all come down to other people? See, it doesn't always come down to that. Many times in our avoidance, it comes down to other people will judge me, other people will criticize me, other people will blame me, other people won't like me. You know, you could write, you know, variations on the theme, right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, is that true that if I write that will happen? Other people will not like my writing and blame me or criticize me. Is that true?
It could be.
Well, okay. Could be. Could it also not be?
Yes, it could not be.
Is there a chance
could just be in my head? And
yeah,
as long
exactly.
as I don't put it out there, I don't have to test that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what... So just asking the question, once we get down to the belief, not all the conversation about the belief, you know, related to be not accepted, being rejected... comes down to that with so many beliefs that stop us, really. You know, I'll be embarrassed, I'll be whatever. So you can't absolutely know that that's true, that you will be rejected. I mean, you know, I've written a lot of stuff. And, you know, some people may be disinterested, I don't even know, you know. It's their business. That's not my business that they're not interested in. That's their business. Which is fine. Now, once in a while, someone says, I found 5 typos in your last article. Now, is a typo the end of the world? No, right? So I say, well, maybe I got to do something to correct those typos. I feel a little embarrassed. It's certainly not the end of the world. So I find that in my aging process, I'm in some ways not as sharp as I used to be with those things. I miss more typos. These days I can hardly type. I tell you, I type and I look up and there's 5 mistakes and it's crazy. So anyway, so I found a proofer, that an editor that looks at my stuff and corrects all my little grammar mistakes. It's great. So I didn't get totally sidetracked by that. It's like, okay, that's a small thing. But let's look more at yours. So is that belief people will judge me and criticize me or reject me, is that belief working for you vis-a-vis your writing?
No, it's not working for me.
Yeah, because what happens because of that belief instead? You don't write, right?
Right.
So obviously it's not working. You have the intention to write, the belief, the fear, the anxiety, the being judged, all that comes up. But we see that's not even true. It's not working for you. So it naturally follows that there's a cost to believing that, a cost to believing. And I'm just going through the process with you, step by step, very
uh-huh.
simple. So
uh-huh.
the cost of believing is what?
It's literally lots of money, but it's also so self-defeating, and it tends to grow.
Yeah, it's like a cancer.
Yeah, as opposed to shutting it up, it grows. It gets louder.
Yeah, the fear gets louder. After all, it's sort of like the little kid that wants to jump off the high diving board, and he has the belief, A, I'll hurt myself, but even more than that, if I dive improperly, people will laugh at me. That's not much different than your belief, is it?
Well, not when you put it that way.
It's like we're we're afraid of being judged in some way. I mean, it all seems to be hardwired. You know, something happened when you're 5 years old or something. Who knows what happens? You don't
mm-hmm.
have to worry about that. But that little boy realizes, well, but if I don't dive, I won't be able to have the fun that everyone else seems to be having. And the cost of not mm-hmm. diving is, well, I don't get to play. I don't get to have fun. And maybe that cost, you'll be so aware of that cost that maybe, you know, it's like, how long are you willing to pay the price of that belief? You know the cost, but how long are you willing to make that price? 6 months, a year, forever? You could die with that belief, die with never writing what you could have written. Yes?
Yes. Definitely under living my life.
What's your life?
I said I'm under living my life.
Under living?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good word. That's the cost. That's great. What the cost is, I'm under living my life. Yeah, I'm less alive, I'm less enthusiastic, I'm less confident. All of those are costs. Are those costs real?
Yes.
Yeah, they're real. They show up in your life. So what are you getting out of that? What's the payoff of believing that thought that people will judge me and criticize me? Yeah, you get to be right. About what?
About some really dumb stuff.
Like what? Tell us. You're doing great, Judith.
It's just so, you know, it's so circular, and it's so limiting that it's kind of embarrassing to see myself in this particular catch-22. Wow.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah. We've been doing, some of us have been doing some of these avoidance things, stuckness scenarios around various areas for most of our life.
Yes.
Sometimes these things something is triggered in adulthood, usually something when we were a kid. So we've had a version of this. You know, I'm gonna give you some possibilities, but again, this is not a have to. Maybe when you were writing something, when you were in the first grade, second grade, whatever. You didn't learn to write, actually, until the second or third grade, whatever. And a teacher criticized you and said, oh, you'll never be a writer. You're not a good writer. Something like that might have happened. Now, you get that kind of criticism from a teacher, from an authority figure, it's devastating. but somehow you believe it must be true. After all, they said it, and they're the authority figure, and it upset you. So what's a good solution for never feeling that way again?
Never writing.
Perfect.
No.
See, that's the payoff. It's a perfect solution. If I don't write, no pain. But then you have this other pain that's probably worse, right? The realization of how much it's really costing you. It's costing you, yet the payoff, is that payoff really real? Is it really worth it?
It's not worth it, but the payoff is real.
Yeah, well, the payoff is, yeah, it's real to an extent, but is it as real as the cost?
No.
See, it's like you're carrying the criticism of something that happened perhaps many years ago. We don't know exactly what it is. Maybe you'll wake up and remember that, you know, sometimes, but it doesn't really matter. But it's like, okay, it's a payoff. It's, other words, by repeating the avoidance of the past, I get to avoid that that possible pain. So you, nevertheless, you've written some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's more ridiculous because I write a lot of stuff, but I don't allow myself the win as a result of writing. If I'm not publishing, if I'm not really doing all the stuff.
So what kind of things have you written?
I've got books here, and it's not like I know.
Wait a sec! Stop! Stop! Have you written a book or more than a book?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You see how crazy this is sounding now? It's like we thought Judith didn't write anything. No, she's actually written books and still beats herself up and feels that
I've actually been managing director of 3 national publications and beat myself up. This is really kind of sick.
Yeah. So is anyone else seeing the wonderful irony in all of this? Yes, you're seeing it? Is everybody right there with Judith? And are you seeing yourself in this, everybody?
Yep.
Say yes if you do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So, isn't that funny? This is not some illiterate person. This is not some stupid person.
No, it's
this
not
is,
funny.
It's not funny. But this is not somebody who can't write, has never written an article for their business or whatever. Because, despite the fact of even doing it, it's just that she never feels confidence in herself about it. She is always, see, you don't have anyone else to be critical, so you'll supply that yourself. Have you written books that were highly praised?
Well, I didn't publish them.
Oh, you never published them? Okay.
No, I never published under my name. I published in the magazine,
Okay.
And I have expert writer status with one of the online places, but it's,
yeah.
I think I'm re. I'm
but you
managing.
Did write that stuff, right?
Oh yeah, I wrote it.
Did you do a good job?
Yeah, I wrote.
Did you do a good job?
Actually, I think I did.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know,
really,
but the worst
really
that could happen, the worst that could happen if you, it sounds like about the worst that could happen. If you wrote, is that writing would get done? I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? But it doesn't seem that if you wrote, I don't see a lot of evidence of people criticizing you, blaming you. Possibly, they might someday, because after all, it's happened before, 35 years ago, whatever. So you see that payoff of staying out of pain is just not really helping anymore?
Yes. Yes, I do see it.
This payoff. So, you know, what's the best that could happen? What's that?
I saw some of this after the second class, and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
How powerful it is to get beyond the stuck belief and looking at the payoff. What's this costing you? How's it benefiting me?
And how
and
silly the payoff
like...
is. How unreasonable the payoff is.
Mm-hmm.
How kind of ridiculous the payoff is. It's like she's been criticizing herself and beating herself up, or you have, for a long time because of some potential rejection from somebody else that's never really happened in any serious way.
Oh, I get plenty of rejection. I get. But that's also part of the stupidness of it. I get plenty of rejection because I'm, like, writing on Facebook, et cetera. And I do have pretty out there ideas.
Well, people might not agree with you, right? They might not agree with you. Yes?
Some people.
So what's the difference between disagreement and rejection?
Some people come over to reject. But I guess what I'm really struck by...
No, answer, please answer the question.
I'm doing it. I'm making myself vulnerable by putting it out there. But I'm precluding myself from the win because I'm not really publishing it to benefit me. I'm just publishing it to be publishing it.
Yeah.
There's something about that that really doesn't resonate well with me. But you know what? I also feel like I've taken up too much time. I'd rather hear somebody else's
pain. No. Here's the thing. We have this scheduled in the program from 10 o'clock to 10:30 to work with somebody on this process, and you just got to be the person. So this is perfect,
sorry.
and we're not finished yet. So
okay.
See, I have devious ways to just all of a sudden someone shares something, and it's like, okay, let's work with that. So is everybody getting value from Judith sharing? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you seeing yourself in this whole sort of stuckness scenario, and how you get caught up in it so much, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, when I ask a question like that, that's the audience participation part. So, you know, it's no, say no with gusto. And if it's yes, say yes with gusto. So is this valuable for everyone?
Yes.
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 Okay. So you're getting a lot yourself, and you're actually performing the service for everybody. So, you know, we can't go through this with everybody, or the class would be 6 hours long, right? Wish we could. Okay, so let's look at the other side, the stuff we talked about in the exercise. So who would you be without that belief, if I write, I'll be judged and criticized? Couldn't have that belief anymore. Who would you be?
I'm not sure. It scares me.
Okay, just look at it again. Just imagine that you couldn't have that belief of being, I'll be judged. It just floats away one day on the breeze. And you're left without that belief, and you're here aware. Who would you be without that belief?
I'd be a much better writer, and I would have published and produced lots and lots of material.
Yeah. Now, that's what you would do. But let's just come back and be really, which is fine. I mean, that's a good realization as well. It's perfect. So who would you be? You know, so a being statement is, I'd be confident. I'd be happy. I'd be... whatever. Who would you be without that belief? So how you're being with that belief is you're constricted, you're fearful, you're doubtful, you're hesitant. That's who you're being. But without all those things, who would you be?
I'd be pretty powerful. I'd be pretty confident.
Confident.
I'd be willing to risk more.
Mm. Yeah. After all, as we've seen, the payoff of holding on to it, which is all about remembering pain, isn't really very real at all. So,
oh, good one, Robert.
It's not really real. So what's left over is power, capability, confidence. See, even if you've never written a word, you know, when a child starts to read, and if they have a good teacher, you know, they're teaching them how to read, a child normally isn't aware of all the thoughts. They're aware of the excitement of reading and learning and writing and all of that stuff, right? They don't know enough. They don't know it's hard yet. They're just doing whatever they're doing, and they don't worry about it. You know, I was with my granddaughter, who's 3 years old, the other day, and she wanted to show us her stuff. So we were in her room, and she brought her all the toys into the room to show us, and then she showed us her drawing. And I've never seen a more confident person in my life. Now, she was drawing these circles and squares and putting dots on them and just showing us how good she was. I mean, 100% confidence, 100% power in that, of just showing what I can do. Now, judged by an art critic, it wouldn't be very good, but it was. Now, if I'd said, oh, Colette, that's wrong. It doesn't look like a person. You're bad for doing that. Do better. Right now, she's so strong in her belief, it wouldn't even affect her, probably. But a few years later, now I'm being very careful. I have to do my drawing perfectly. You know, I don't want to show it to anybody. No, 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 no. That's the kind of stuff that's happening with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But who you are, ultimately, is just like an innocent child, just open. And then you also happen to have all these awesome writing skills anyway. And wouldn't you?
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. So what possibilities might open up without attaching to that belief anymore?
Am I still on the hot seat?
Yeah. We got a couple questions and we're done. We're doing the last
okay,
four questions here.
The possibilities would be pretty huge. They might even be pretty unlimited.
Yeah.
But I never get to
give me one. You never allowed yourself to even think that way before. After all, the payoff is don't get hurt, which is pretty imaginary, pretty unreal. So give me a specific possibility that might open up if you couldn't attach to that belief anymore.
I might actually help the people that I'm supposed to help in life.
Wow, that's
I might
huge.
Actually fulfill what I believe is a deep mission.
Yeah.
I might actually make a lot of money.
You might even make a lot of money. Oh, we wouldn't want that. Yeah, you know, if I look back into my past of various beliefs, you know, like I used to have the belief, this seemed really true to me. It still rears its head every once in a while. Nobody can afford me. It's a different belief than yours, but it's, you know, like all these other beliefs, it's a limiting belief. And it stops me, and so when people came to me and said, I need marketing help, I wouldn't sell them more than three sessions. Because I thought they could never afford more than three sessions. I just believed that. And one day, I don't know what happened, I realized that I'd been working with some clients longer because they forced me to. And I realized, gee, the people that forced me to work with them longer get better results than the people that don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, my God, I'm wrong. But that's a wonderful wrong to be, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm wrong about my limitation.
Yes, I got it.
So what possibilities might open up without the belief? Well, you'd be wrong about the belief, but all kinds of new possibilities could open up. So what opened up for me, I said, well, I work with people a minimum of 10 sessions. And everyone said, okay, that sounds fine. Let's start. And basically, I tripled my income in a month because I wasn't stopping people from working with me because, oh, my God, I might hurt them. They'd pay too much. Whatever nonsense that came from, some scarcity belief, I'm not sure where it came from. So, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
You know, pretty cool to discover that you were wrong, maybe just kind of wrong about that belief. it's just really not a lot of evidence for it. It doesn't help you in any way. It has a high cost. It's not getting you what you want, right?
Yes.
So the next question, is it okay just being you without that belief?
That's a heck of a question.
It is, isn't it?
That's really a heck of a question. That's a probe. And I think it is. But the first time you said it, it scared me. It made me very anxious. But yeah, I think it is okay to let that belief go.
Yeah, and is it okay being you? I mean,
yeah,
you're the only you
okay.
You've got, right?
Yeah.
So is it okay to be you?
It's okay.
Yeah, you and who you are is not the belief, right? It's just a belief that got caught in your mind somewhere, yes?
Oh, well, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
These subtle but very profound distinctions just like, whoa, open up a whole new can of possibilities.
Yeah, so that's what the whole exercise is. I want everybody to listen to this recording again. Listen to the recording especially of the thing. You know, it keeps saying, you know, who would you be if you let go of this? Who would you be if you let go of that? So, you know, you're there. Who you are is all there is, in a sense. Who you are is awareness and unlimited possibility, etc. But the belief, that's just a passing presence in the awareness of you. It's just like the clouds in the sky. You know, does the sky have any problem with clouds?
Oh. That's a great question.
The sky has no problem with clouds. It has unlimited space for as many clouds as they are. It has no worries about them clouds. Them clouds, they ain't no problem. They're just there. And they come and they go, right? Just like your beliefs. They're like storm clouds. But what if the sky one day said, oh, all those clouds, they're really ruining my day. They really suck. I shouldn't have any clouds in the sky. I mean, that would be kind of nutty, wouldn't it?
Oh,
hey,
God.
It's just enjoy the clouds. I can't see the earth because of those clouds. Well, how about just enjoying the clouds and they'll float away and then there'll be some earth. And, you know, just being the sky is a pretty cool job. So we are like the sky. We're openness. We're okay just the way we are. We're just there. Get it?
Yes.
Okay. So who? What's next for you?
No, I'm going to actually finish my website.
Okay. Great. So make a plan. Get help if you need it. See, it's okay for the sky to get help. It's okay that you don't know everything. Oh, use the website toolkit. You're a club member, right?
Yes, and you know, I have all that stuff. I've even got part of it started because it's really the marketing club and all of that information. It's a little overwhelming, but it's also excellent information. So,
this is the missing piece. The missing piece in getting anything done is getting past our limitations and seeing that our limitations, these nutty beliefs, are just passing clouds. They're passing clouds. They don't have much substance to them. They're not very interesting, really. Can you imagine somebody writing a book about how Judith Stevens got stuck, a novel in three parts?
That would really be embarrassing.
we could all have a book like that. Yeah, it would be a pretty boring book. One day, Judith started to believe that her writing was crappy.
To hold on to limiting beliefs for a decade. That's really creative thinking. Now, it suggests you need extensive medical care. But to think about holding on to a belief that you've got objective data that it's not true.
Yeah, it sort of pokes some holes in it, right? It's like, okay, there are thoughts there, but is what they're pointing to really true? There are thoughts. But, you know, they're very, very, very insubstantial. They barely exist, what they're really pointing to. They barely exist. So when you get that these negative thoughts, what they're telling you is just, you know, it's flimsier than clouds themselves. I mean, clouds have a purpose, you know. They provide the earth with the water it needs. I'm not sure you could say that. It gives you a false sense of assurance that you're right about something limiting. Yes, I get to survive because I believe my clients can't afford me. What a great belief to have. When I realized it was total nonsense, all of a sudden I started to make a lot more money. So Judah, thank you for being courageous enough, and I know, you know, there was fear and resistance, courageous enough to go through this.
Thank you for being skilled enough to pull me through it. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you go through and just answer the questions on the Getting Unstuck worksheet, that basically I just asked you those questions. But people hearing someone go through the process, you see, well, there's resistance from the belief, so everybody could see that. But when you just looked at what was there, you could see that there was a cost. You could see that there was a payoff that wasn't worth it. You could see that who you are without the belief was something greater than you could imagine. It had unlimited possibility that you could actually survive quite fine without the attachment to that belief, and that new things could open to you. I'm not saying that there might be some bumps along the way in your writing, but when you crack it open a bit and see that, oh, there's that old, my old friend, the one that wants to keep me safe, but isn't really doing anything for me useful, just gently say, okay, I got to get back to my writing, okay? Do you mind? Just want to get back to my writing. Just be writing. Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. So, that was a pretty good example of the full process. In fact, it was one of the best I've ever seen, one of the best. And, you know, one reason it was a good example of this process, a couple reasons. Number one, there was a real experience of stuckness there. You know, it brought up all kinds of anxiety, just the thought of letting it go. It was really stuck. It really, really is fighting for its point of view. And, you know, you notice one of the things I did, and we're gonna focus on this next week, is we're going to focus on getting to the core beliefs. So what we did is we got to the core belief. You know, it was kind of like intellectual and kind of conceptual what the belief was. And I kept asking, well, what's underneath that? What's underneath that? Once, you know, we went 4 or 5 levels deep. And what was underneath it was essentially, someone will judge and criticize me. Now that's a very common one. So, you know, getting to a core belief can really, really, really open things up, because then you really have something to work with. It's not an ephemeral belief like, oh, this is just too difficult. See, that's a belief as well, but there's something, why is it difficult? What's so hard about it? What's the belief under that? And then you get to something that has much more emotional impact. See, being rejected, possibly being rejected, not being accepted, not being liked, not feeling you're not good enough, all of those are very emotional. You know, I'm anxious about this. I don't want to even look at this. Oh, my God. It just, you know, just to be left by myself in my awareness. Are you kidding? I got to grab onto that belief because I've grabbed onto that for my whole life. So when we get to that, so as I said, there's two things. One is there's got to be a real solid stuckness that's based in some core belief. And the other thing that made it great is the willingness to keep looking. Just the willingness to look and answer honestly. All it really takes. So, you know, when I'm feeling out of sorts, sometimes I don't know what the belief is. I just feel out of sorts. I feel grumpy. I feel whatever, you know, the way people feel sometimes, and we don't even know exactly what it is. And so those are the times where I'll sit down with the worksheet and say, okay, let me see if I can get to the bottom of this because I just don't feel great right now. Mostly I notice it in my feelings, and then, but I have a willingness to look because I know when I do this process, I have enough experience that once I've gone through it, you know, I realize what's going on. It's just so clear to me, and in that clarity of just looking, it's very hard for me to keep grasping. So, you know, I look through, and then I really put the emphasis on, let's find that core belief. Is that, you know, given all that's happening, all the stuckness, not feeling good, feeling of resistance, what would I have to believe to feel that way? And sometimes it takes a while to get to that. Sometimes it takes a facilitator. Sometimes it just takes, you know, doing the process. I've actually found for myself, doing it myself and just following my worksheet is good. If you don't have a very skilled facilitator, it can not work as well. Sometimes you can be your best facilitator because it's your commitment to have that awakening, that breakthrough, that insight, that getting to the truth. So it's kind of fun. It's like digging in and doing it. And then you find that belief, and then you really look at the consequences and look at what's beyond the belief. And, you know, every time I do that in varying degrees, I just feel lighter, more present, more capable. Because it's like I've faced my demons. Anybody remember the famous cartoon script, strip Pogo? Do you know the famous, does anyone know the quote from Pogo?
We have seen the enemy and he is us.
Yes, we have seen the enemy and he is us. Yeah, I mean, that comic strip that ran for, I don't know, years and years and years and years, out of it came one incredible quote. It was kind of a fun cartoon. It was a very philosophical cartoon, very insightful. But that's sort of a very famous quote that almost everybody has heard. We have faced the enemy and he is us. So we see that, and when we see that clearly, we have a certain power that we didn't have before. Because before that belief and everything that was going on, you know, it had results in our life, it had fallout in our life, it had costs, but we really weren't seeing what was going on. And as soon as we see, a little shift takes place, sometimes a big shift. Okay, so what I'd like to do, we've got 20 more minutes. We don't have to go to the end. But any other thoughts or insights or ahas or questions or anything you want to talk about for the next few minutes?
Well, this is Donna. Just that Pogo thing, like if you're constantly projecting the problem out and seeing it everywhere around, if I project it out and see it around me, then I'm going to feel panicky and anxious because it's everywhere, it's here, it's there. But if I, you know, own it and then I realize that it's mine, then I can manage me. I can't control the world. And so it seems like the anxiety level goes down.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, You cannot control the world. You know, Byron Katie
right,
has this thing, there's our business, which is working on ourselves. There's others' business, another person, other people in the world. We can't do anything to change them directly. That's their business. And then there's God's business, or everything, life, whatever, you know. We can't reverse the course of a river, right? Not that we haven't tried to do that, but it ends in a lot of struggle and pain. So that's a great insight. Have you ever had this situation, Donna? You have a lot on your plate, and you're just feeling overwhelmed. You felt overwhelmed in your life, right? Everyone has. And then you go to bed at night, and you can't stop thinking about all these things you have to get done. That ever happened to you? And then, I don't know if you've done this, but you get up, and you said, let me just get this down on paper. And you thought there was 10 or 15 things, and there was 3 or 4.
Or even one.
Or even one. Oh, I just have to do that. But your mind has been thinking about what might go wrong with it, and now what about that, and who is going to do that. It's just like one or two things you got to do. And then, okay, and when am I going to do it? Well, I can do that. I can fit that in tomorrow. Okay, I can just do that. The thinking, all the, you know, worrying about it and being anxious about it and gnashing of teeth about it ain't getting you anywhere, but just knowing there's the thing I need to do and I can do it. So the process kind of works like that. It's like, okay, we've corralled this little tyrant of a belief, and we just find that there's not a lot there. It's just kind of this phantom. And it's like, oh, okay, that's handled. Not so bad after all. Another Byron Katie thing that I've said before is, I've discovered that the reality is always kinder than the belief. Okay. So, great insight. Who else? Who else has got some profound insights or questions?
Robert, it's Vita. I don't know how profound it is, but I'll try.
Okay.
What really hit me very deeply is I was committed fully to this program.
Yeah.
And no matter what came up, as uncomfortable as I may have been, I didn't shy away from it. And that made me get the insights and make some breakthroughs. And this is something I haven't been that consistent with. And it surprised me to what extent how valuable that initial commitment was that I would do this, period.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, and congratulations for doing that, you know.
Thank you.
It's like taking a step into the unknown, right?
Exactly.
I don't know exactly what's going to come out of this, but I want to get past my stuckness, so damn it, I'm just going to do it to the best of my ability.
And it wasn't going to be a miracle solution. It was my participation that was going to make it work, as well as what I received from you.
Absolutely. That's the willingness that's needed. A willingness to discover what is true, despite the ramifications, you know.
Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Damn the torpedoes. Exactly. Yeah, and what's the alternative to that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's hanging out in those old beliefs again.
So you're going to sink. So, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I can tell you're really participating in this. You know, you really, really are. And, you know, some people aren't sharing as much, but that's okay, too. You know, some people are... People are processing this deeply. This is deep stuff. Now, you know, the thing that I'm concerned of is, you know, there's no... You don't want to turn all of this into a belief. It's just it's a method of exploring your stuckness, right? And so there's no, you must do it this way, or this is the way you have
right
to do it, or any of that. They're just pointers in the direction to see that who you are is much bigger than all the stuckness. Who you are is vast compared to all the stuckness. And, you know, sometimes that realization takes a while to take hold, but you can't totally figure it out, but you can do the process. You can ask the questions. You can do these little exercises or ask any of the questions at any time, like, wow, I just told myself that. Is that true? No, that's nonsense. What am I saying to myself? Holy crap. And all of a sudden it breaks the spell. Breaks the conditioning. It breaks the attachment. It breaks the identification. Okay, who else has something they'd like to share?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, I really identified with Judith through the process and with my own stuckness and thing. And the one thing that I'm kind of working through is, you know, I realized that I could come out, and like Judith said, you could come out on the other side and be a better, whatever it is, writer, marketer, speaker, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I'm getting stuck with is sometimes the money part to get there. You know, and the cost of certain things to... in order to afford to, you know, whether it's programs or services you have to buy or things to set up, you know, to get where you need to go. And sometimes I think that's where, yeah, maybe that's another layer of the stuckiness.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, stuff about money is a really, it's a common stuckness.
Yes.
Almost everybody has issues about that. You know, when I was early in my business, I'd hear people say, oh, I just don't have problems with money. I can make money easily. And I was going, what is this frickin' superpower that they have? What are they talking about? For me, it was absolute struggle and pain, and I just couldn't make money. I mean, it just was impossible for me. But ultimately, I got to the other side of that. I mean, with the realization I told you and other things. Well, I realized it was just me. It was my thoughts holding me back. Without a commitment to those thoughts, possibilities opened up. Like, you have to do 10 sessions now. You cannot do just 3. Simple as that. So one thing to get at, Chris, is, and this is something, write this down, please, and I'll also put it in the homework, is when you do this process, I want you to go through the whole process a couple times or a few times, as much as you can, but at least a couple times on some belief. Really see if you can get to the core belief. Because that's really what makes the process more powerful. The core belief is, you know, all the surface beliefs are there, and if you just work on those, you get a certain insight. But when you work on a core belief, the insight is usually deeper, more profound, more impact, more shift, more realization, whatever. So... and you just ask the question, okay, is there anything deeper than that? Anything more emotional than that? What is that belief? What would I have to believe if I believe that? Well, I believe this thing. Well, what else would I have to believe that? So we're going to work more on that next time, but you can actually start looking at it now, start exploring. It's like, okay, we've dived deep into the cave, so to speak. And after we've dived a certain part, we realize that we're only a quarter of the way in. And this cave is vast and deep and dark. But we haven't had the courage really to look at that yet. So you know, what's the worst that could happen? What really is the worst that could happen doing this process? Really?
You remain stuck.
Yeah, and you were there already.
You remain stuck.
You remain stuck. So you're there already, so what the heck? You don't have much to lose, right?
Yep.
Robert, could you give an example of a core belief again?
Well, a core belief is often, it's often about other people judging us or rejecting us or considering us in a certain way. Oh, he's not okay, he's not smart, he's not this, he's not that. It's some outside criticism, judgment, blame, accusation. You know, people will X. That's one kind of core belief. Another one is just, I am not good. I'm not worthy. I'm not capable. Just at my core, I'm worthless. I just don't have what it takes. So that's another core belief. That's different than being rejected from others. You're rejecting yourself, you know. But so you know you're getting there. You also know you're getting there if it just, as you ask these questions, you feel, you know, a little more emotion around that, a little more, you know, deeper insight about that. Oh, I see. This whole thing about, so what's the whole thing about money? So we don't have time to do it now, but maybe we could do it next week, Chris, is we could look more deep into the money thing. I think that would be useful to everybody. So
yeah, I think,
you know,
so.
One obvious one might be, well, I'm not worthy to make more money. So why am I not worthy to make more money? What's the belief under that, et cetera? So I'm just, whatever. It's often very, very strange when we find it. It's like, oh, my God, I didn't even think of that. You know, I never thought of myself as a victim, ever, ever, ever. But I realized in some of the issues that I had with my wife, I played the victim card every time. So who knows? It's deeply hidden. But you can get to it just by asking, okay, is there anything deeper than that? What would I have to believe to be stuck there? But it's
there's what you have to give up, is your idea of yourself as not scared or not a victim or not something that you want to be. Because, like, nobody wants to be a victim, and that's just the rub right there.
Yeah.
If you want to go after the truth, you have to take it, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
It might
not
be pretty.
Yeah. But it might be beautiful.
Yeah.
Just its magnificent awfulness. You know, the only way to get past a belief like this is through the belief.
Uh-huh.
You can't skirt around it. You can't go around it. You can't bypass it. There's this thing, this thing called spiritual bypassing. Oh, everything just is wonderful. Everything is great. I am God. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, but you never really look at those deep things, really, deep enough. But when you become more aware of how it's working, okay, I am awareness. I am aware. I have open possibilities. And there are patterns of beliefs and stuckness and scenarios that I've been playing forever. Now with that realization of awareness, I can work with it more capably. Because I realize I'm not it. I just have it. It's just a thing. It's like, I'm not termites, but there are termites in my house. Let's find those termites. Until I find them, can't do anything with them. You know, the analogy sort of breaks down because you have to kill the damn termites. And we're being a little softer about this. We're just allowing that belief. We're seeing it. We're telling the truth about it. We're allowing it. We're seeing the cost. We're seeing the payoff. And in all of that, you know, the termites crawl away. Okay, so, yes.
This is Judith again. You know, I've always been struck by how much of your marketing material works for our money consciousness. You know, I do the money thing.
Yeah.
Now, isn't the ultimate rejection of money not marketing?
Yeah. I mean, that sort of guarantees it. I'll just hope it comes to me some magical way, but will I do anything practical? No, because I've got some fear, I've got some resistance, I've got this stuff. And so, you know, you've all told me, you know, and many of you, I just think about marketing, but I never do it. Why? Because of the stuckness. Yeah, it all starts to fall into place. The patterns of why we haven't succeeded in certain areas or we struggled so much come into place. It's just an unexamined belief.
Robert, I'd like to add something to Rita. There, I read somewhere some time ago and it really struck me. Essentially, your destructive beliefs create an identity. And giving up that identity is very painful and confronting. So that's a process, I think, also that Beyond Stuckness can address.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get much into identities, but that's very valid work. It's similar. It's very similar. Because you could actually do the process on identities. So I believe I am X. I believe I'm a stupid person. I believe I'm a smart person. Even that's an identity that isn't really who you are. But I'd rather have the identity I'm a smart person than I'm a stupid person. However, I might have the identity that I'm a smart person, and I really am not. I do stupid things. So, you know, when we uncover identities of who we think we are, we discover some interesting things. There's a guy called Scott Killaby who has a whole book on that.
How do you spell his last name?
Killaby, K-I-L-L-O-B-Y.
Thank you.
He has some really interesting books. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So, and then he has this process called the something identity process, which is has some similarities to this. It's about looking at all aspects of this identity and looking through it and realizing there really isn't anything real there. It's just thoughts that have turned into a certain persona that isn't really real.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can attack this or approach this from all kinds of directions. And I sort of combine Byron Katie's work with the work of Rupert Spira, which I've always been mentioning, who is a master of non-duality. You know, just the whole thing
name?
Of
Rupert?
Spira, S-P-I-R-A. Yeah,
okay,
if you want to see some, you know, some people don't resonate with it, you never know, but if you look him up on YouTube, he has hundreds of videos on YouTube. 250 of them or something. So everyone, mostly they're from his long workshops, and they're an answer or conversation about a particular thing. But he always comes back to who we are as awareness. And within awareness, everything else resolves. And it's brilliant, deep work. I mean, he's the most brilliant person in this area I've ever encountered. So if you want to blow your mind a little bit more, you might be ready for it. I don't know. But he's very clear, calm. I try to learn from him with this, you know, to be clear, to be calm, to be directed in explaining this. No big fireworks, just what is. You know, I've learned a lot from him in a lot of different ways. He's quite something. Anyway, and with that, let us wrap it up. And your homework is to take a belief and work through all the main questions using the Unstuck worksheet. You can use those sub-questions in the book if you want as well. Sometimes it helps a bit. And try to see if you can dig deeper and find the core belief and work through the whole thing. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with this call. We had some great sharing today, and especially for Judith for going right through the whole process and seeing through it all. It was fantastic, Judith. It was great. I was privileged to work with you.
And
okay.
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. So have a great rest of your day. And
okay,
we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank
and,
you.
And thank you, Robert. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.